Well, April 15th is come and gone. I hope you guys mailed in your taxes. Did you guys get them in on time? Wow, that's bad. You're in a heap of trouble. Don't you love to pay taxes? How many people here love to pay taxes? Oh, man, you know, the Bible says rejoice in all things. Man, I love to pay taxes. I am even doubly blessed when I get to pay taxes twice on the same amount of money. Isn't that incredible? Yeah! Don't you love that? I got, like, before I filed mine this year, I got that little notice from the state of Maryland that said that last year they took too much money. It didn't belong to them. It belonged to me. And they mailed me back $900 last year. And they just sent me a love note to remind me that wasn't their money. That was my money. And they sent it back to me. Oh, and the little note at the bottom says, and guess what? You get to pay taxes on it again this year. Woo! Praise God, man. I mean, how blessed can you be? It's a double portion, you know? I feel like Elisha. Man. I can tell you're just really pumped about this. You're so excited. Well, imagine, if you would, that instead of mailing in your taxes or sending them electronically, imagine they actually sent somebody to your door to collect your taxes from you. Some thug of ill repute. And this person was empowered by the government to not only collect the taxes you were owed to the government, you were due to the government, but also he could take whatever he could get out of you as his collection fee for taking the taxes from you to bring it to the government. Let's say 10% extra, 20% extra, 30% extra, whatever he could strong-arm you into giving and extort you into giving on top of your taxes. Wouldn't that be exciting? And then to make it better, let's say even on top of that, let's say when he showed up, he gave you a personal guarantee that he would make sure that the money you gave to the federal government would be earmarked to go specifically for abortion and euthanasia. Wouldn't you feel great about that? Just try to contain yourself. Yeah, I mean, the excitement, we're just going to get downright Pentecostal in a minute. But you know what? That's exactly what the Jews in Jesus' time lived through. That's exactly what they faced when it came time for the Roman government to collect taxes from them. They used their own people, their own countrymen, their own fellow Jews to go and not only collect these taxes from this foreign government that was occupying them, but to extort them and strong-arm them into giving them over and above that so that they could simply pocket that money for themselves. And the money they did send into the government basically paid the salaries of the very soldiers who were occupying the land. These men who were known for their brutality, who had probably enslaved or killed about 60% of the population at that time. In New Testament times, 60% of the population was in slavery. And it was a large result of the war that was brought on by these Roman soldiers occupying the land. They would crucify people. There was one time in which they crucified approximately 3,000 people all along the road leading to Jerusalem. And their taxes were going to fund that. How exciting. You can imagine, therefore, how hated and despised tax collectors were in that day. They were looked on as traitors. They were looked on as people who had betrayed the most intimate trust one could imagine. That covenant relationship of the people of God sold for filthy lucre. There's a man today, just to kind of bring it home a little bit, there's a man today named Jason Levin. He's the head of a group called Crash the Tea Party. Are you guys familiar with the Tea Party? Anybody ever heard of the Tea Party? TEA, taxed enough already, okay, yeah. This guy, Jason Levin, he's actually a school teacher. His goal, his publicly stated goal, is to discredit the Tea Party by getting people to show up at their meetings and act out to try to provoke them on camera. His stated goal was to get everybody in the country to look at members of the Tea Party as specifically homophobic, racist, and ignorant, quote unquote. In fact, Fox News said this about Jason Levin. It says, Levin has said that he would seek to embarrass Tea Partiers by attending their rallies dressed as Adolf Hitler, carrying signs bearing racist, sexist, and anti-gay epithets, and acting as offensively as possible, anything short of throwing punches. How many people are excited about that? Okay. Now, let's suppose the Lord came to you in a vision, appeared to you in a vision, and said, greetings. I have an assignment for you. This is very important, so I've appeared to you personally to give you this. I want you to go to Jason Levin. I'll arrange it. I'll set it up. I want you to go to him and share the gospel with him so that he can be saved. And you're probably like, yeah. Yeah, buddy, because I know Chris Peeler taught me well. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. I'm going to lay some law on that brother, man. I'm going to have him begging for mercy. I'm going to paint the fires of hell so red and hot that he is going to be on his face crawling on the ground begging for mercy when I get done with him. And the Lord says, well, no, actually, you're not in a position to really convey that part of the gospel. I'm going to have somebody else show him the law, show him his need for a Savior. I just want you to befriend him and love him and speak to him about the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just love him into the kingdom. Yeah. And he'd be like, what did I do to deserve such a high calling? All right, you're my Lord. What can I say? I'll do it. I don't want to do it. It irks me and everything inside of me grates inside, but Lord, you're worthy. I'll do it. Is there anything else you need? And the Lord says, oh yeah, by the way, one other thing. Your friends are not going to understand. They are going to think you've betrayed them. They're going to totally misinterpret that relationship. And they are going to feel offended. They're going to be hurt. They're going to be angry. And they're going to look at you as a traitor for obeying me. I just thought I'd pass that on. And there's nothing you can do to change that. How many would say that would be a hard assignment from God? Hard. How many could see themselves saying, no. No, I love you, Lord, but that's asking too much. My family, my friends are dear to me. I treasure, I covet, I cherish the love that we have. I can't do that. You're asking too much. They're the most important things I have in this world. How can I just simply throw that to the wind? How many would say that's a hard assignment? That's a hard assignment. I know of people who've been called to do that. In fact, I've got some bad news and some good news. The bad news is if you're truly following Christ, there is going to come a time when he is going to call on you to do that. Maybe not those exact circumstances, but with the potential same result, he is going to ask you to take the thing that is the most valuable, priceless, precious thing in your life and lay it on the altar and say, God, if I offer this on your service, if this is what you require of me, I will hold nothing back. My hand will hold nothing back. Be it a possession, be it a relationship, be it a position, be it a reputation. That's the bad news. If you are truly a follower of Christ, there will come a time when you will have to look at that thing and decide whether you love that or God more. Here's the good news. whatever tears come as a result of that, whatever heartache and whatever stress, it will be absolutely far and above worth everything that you endure in order to achieve it. You can't, the reward cannot be measured. It is infinitely, infinitely worth the sacrifice. Infinitely worth it. Whatever you have to do to take up your cross and follow Him, don't ever hesitate. He is worth it. We're going to see that happen in Scripture. Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. We're to continue our study of the book of Mark. Very interesting situation here. I love this chapter. It's just profound. As you're turning there, and we're going to put it up here, but if you want to turn with me, you're welcome to in the Bible. By the way, I heard a sermon once by a guy who was a pastor in Romania. He got saved in the midst of all that communism and state government-run worship. Wonderful man, humble man, joyously saved. But as he went to get a higher education and he went into these universities that are atheist and anti-Christ, they attacked his faith so violently that with communism and atheism that he actually, for a season, walked away from his faith. His mind couldn't keep up with the barrage of things they threw at him, and he walked away from God. But the Lord caught up with them years later and convicted him.